Welcome to another deep dive. And this time,
Oh, wow.
it's all about your source material.
Yeah.
A pretty wild mix of audio recordings and emails,
Okay.
a syllabus, and even some song lyrics.
Interesting.
And it all revolves around this student, Caleb Giddens,
Right.
and their experiences at Kamakata Community College.
Interesting.
So we're going to try to untangle this whole web of accessibility challenges,
Yeah.
the role of AI in education.
Mm-hmm.
And see if there's any institutional accountability to be found.
All right.
Buckle up, because this one gets pretty intense.
It sounds like it. Yeah, just the variety of sources you have is pretty striking.
It's like getting multiple perspectives on a single story before we even start.
Yeah.
And those perspectives hint at some pretty thought-provoking themes.
Okay.
This concept of confident ignorance pops up.
Mm.
And we've got questionable practices around required certifications.
Oh, wow.
And even a prominent disability advocate.
Okay.
Whose actions seem to totally contradict her words.
Really?
But first.
Yeah, let's set the stage.
Yeah, let's set the stage.
Okay.
Our story centers on Caleb Giddens.
Okay.
A student at Kamakata Community College.
Got it.
Or CHMCA, as it's often called.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, Caleb was already advocating for accessibility.
Really?
Being back in grade school.
Okay.
They preferred using an Alpha Smart device.
An Alpha Smart?
Yeah, over a laptop.
Interesting.
And actually got some flack for it.
Wow.
People saw it as like cheating somehow.
Oh, wow. That's interesting how that kind of foreshadows the debate around AI now, doesn't it?
Right.
This knee-jerk reaction to just label any new technology as like this threat.
Totally.
Especially in education.
Mm.
But you know what often gets lost is the potential.
Yeah.
For these tools to actually level the playing field, particularly for students with disabilities.
Exactly. And that tension between fear and potential is at the heart of Caleb's story.
Okay.
So fast forward to college, and Caleb's taking an online math class.
Okay.
They run into some issues with the software, which is not very accessible.
Yeah.
And when they bring this up to the instructor, the response is basically, well, you chose the wrong modality.
Oh, wow. That's pretty dismissive.
Talk about dismissive.
Yeah. It almost feels like they're preemptively dismissing any concerns.
Yeah.
Just because Caleb chose the online format.
Right.
It's weird because there's so much emphasis on online learning these days.
Right. You would think.
You'd think so.
That they would be a little bit more sensitive to that.
Yeah, you would think.
So because of this attitude.
Right.
Caleb decides to enroll in this advanced in-person writing course, assuming that would avoid any of these tech-related barriers.
Okay.
But guess what?
What?
They're told that AI will be used for grading.
Oh, no.
In that very class.
Oh, the irony.
It's almost ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Caleb tries to navigate all these accessibility challenges of online learning, only to be faced with a whole new set of concerns about AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a supposedly safer environment of an in-person class.
It's wild.
And remember how some of your sources are audio recordings?
Yeah.
Well, that's Caleb recording lectures.
Okay.
And not for any nefarious reason.
Right.
But as an assistive technology.
It's interesting.
They use it to process information.
Oh, okay.
And make sure they're understanding everything correctly. Mm-hmm. Kind of like an audio note-taking system.
It seems like the college maybe misinterpreted that as something kind of malicious.
Totally.
It makes you wonder, are institutions really listening to students?
Yeah.
Or are they more concerned with control enforcing all these arbitrary rules?
And then there's this whole bait and switch situation.
No, no. What happened?
With a required certification.
Okay.
In a CIS course.
Okay.
So Caleb's told they need to pass this CompTIA certification exam to get an A in the class.
Oh, wow.
Sounds good in theory, right?
Yeah, sure.
Except this exam wasn't part of the actual course curriculum.
Oh, really?
And it cost Caleb an extra $250 to take.
Wow, that's a lot.
It raises questions about the ethics of these external certifications.
Yeah, totally. Is it about assessing knowledge, or is it just another way to squeeze money out of students? And what about the students who can't afford that?
Yeah, what about those students?
That's a good point.
And sadly, this is just the tip of the iceberg for Caleb.
Oh, no.
They also mentioned being denied counseling services when they were struggling and then facing what they perceived as retaliation from a teacher after raising concerns about this expensive certification.
Oh, man.
It all got so bad that Caleb had to switch degree programs entirely.
Wow, that's a stressful college experience.
Talk about a stressful college experience.
Wow, if you connect all these incidents, you start to see a pattern of
Totally.
these systemic issues. There's a lack of transparency, disregard for student concern, and a failure to provide adequate support, especially for accessibility.
Okay, so let's dive a little bit deeper into
Okay.
this AI controversy. It's important to note that Caleb isn't anti-AI.
Oh,
In
yeah.
fact, they believe AI, when implemented correctly, can be a powerful tool for accessibility.
Interesting.
They even give this great example in one of their recordings, an international student using AI to translate a chemistry textbook into their native language.
Wow, that's great. Breaking down language barriers, making education more inclusive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's the catch.
What's that?
The college has this blanket ban
Oh, wow.
on any generative AI for students.
Really?
It's this weird
It's a
contradiction
double standard.
where the institution seems comfortable using AI
Yeah.
for its own purposes,
Right.
but restricts students from using it
That doesn't really make
in
sense.
ways that could actually benefit their learning.
No, it doesn't.
And this brings us back to that confident ignorance.
Right.
The college seems so sure of itself, so
Yeah.
confident in its
Like
approach.
they just don't want to consider
Well,
that
no,
they
well,
could be wrong.
that its ban on AI might be doing more harm than good.
Especially for those students who need it.
Yeah, especially for students who could benefit
Right.
from those accessibility features.
Yeah.
They're shutting down any conversation about it,
That's not good.
which just breeds distrust and frustration.
Yeah, totally.
It's like they're saying, we know best, and you're not allowed to question us.
It's concerning. Yeah, that lack of open dialogue
It's
can
concern.
suggest this power imbalance where
It's.
the institution dictates everything instead of fostering this collaborative learning environment.
Okay, next up,
Okay.
we need to talk about Caleb's experiences with these grading disputes
Yeah.
and this lack of transparency from the college.
One example that stands out is from this sociology course. Caleb submitted an 800-word assignment.
Wow.
And received barely any feedback.
Right
Just a
off.
few words,
That's insulting.
considering the effort they put in.
Seriously.
And when Caleb tried to get clarification on the grade,
Yeah.
they were told to go back to the professor who was completely ignoring them.
So frustrating. So they reach out to the dean, Keith Russell, who conducts an investigation,
You're right.
but refuses to share any details with Caleb
Waitley.
about the outcome.
That's so weird.
Again, we see this pattern of the institution prioritizing its own internal processes over actual transparency and student support.
It's like they're saying, we looked into it. Everything's fine. Just trust us.
Right.
But clearly things aren't fine.
Clearly things weren't fine.
Yeah.
Caleb's left in the dark,
Right.
unsure of how to improve or what they might have done wrong. It just creates this sense of helplessness and really undermines the whole learning process.
And it seems like this pattern repeats itself
Yeah.
throughout all of Caleb's interactions with the college.
That's awful. That lack of transparency is a recurring theme, and
It erodes trust.
it erodes trust and creates this environment where students just feel like their voices don't matter.
Okay, now buckle up because this is where things get really interesting.
Oh, really? Okay.
Let's talk about Tiana Tozer.
Okay.
She's this prominent disability advocate known for her motto, "What's your excuse?"
That's a powerful message, urging people to take ownership and overcome challenges.
But here's the twist.
What?
Tozer herself was involved in a lawsuit settlement
Really?
related to accessibility and homelessness.
Wait, so she's advocating for education over legislation? Like, just ask nicely instead of pursuing legal action, but then she settles a lawsuit herself.
It's a bit ironic.
Yeah, it's a little
It
ironic.
raises some uncomfortable questions about her approach to advocacy
Yeah.
and whether it's truly about systemic change or something else entirely.
Right.
And it gets even more complicated
Yeah, also.
because Tozer was reportedly involved in removing homeless individuals,
Oh, wow.
some potentially disabled,
Okay.
from sidewalks,
Interesting.
which seems to directly contradict her criticism
Yeah.
of others pursuing legal remedies
Yeah.
for those very same issues.
It's definitely a complex situation.
Yeah.
It highlights these nuances of disability advocacy
Yeah.
and how a one-size-fits-all approach can sometimes miss the mark,
Totally.
Especially when it comes to homelessness and poverty.
Okay, so remember we mentioned that Caleb was expelled
yeah.
from Shemakita.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after being told they would be arrested if they contacted the college again.
Oh, wow.
They get this phone call.
Don't tell me.
From the college.
From the college.
It's a truly bizarre situation.
That's so strange.
Caleb calls it a trap call.
A trap call.
The college representative claims it's about a program application.
Oh, really?
But given the previous threats,
yeah.
it's understandable why Caleb is suspicious.
Totally.
It raises concerns about the college's motives.
Yeah.
And their willingness to potentially manipulate Caleb.
Right.
Especially after they'd already been expelled.
It's disturbing, this pattern of behavior
yeah.
that further erodes trust.
Yeah.
And suggests this disregard for due process.
And even after being expelled.
Right.
Caleb is trying to understand why.
Okay.
They want to know if it was because the college perceived them as mentally unstable.
Right.
Which would be straight up discrimination.
Yeah.
Or if it was because of their discoveries.
Right.
And outspokenness about AI.
That's a crucial point. If it was because of their advocacy.
Right.
It would be silencing dissent and yeah. controlling the narrative
yeah.
around this new technology.
Totally.
It raises questions about academic freedom.
Right.
And the right to critique the institution.
Exactly.
Especially these practices involving technology.
They even filed a public records request for police records
mm-hmm.
to see if there was anything filed against them.
But were they able to get that?
Well, get this.
Yeah.
The fees associated with that request were outrageous.
Oh, no.
Almost $700.
Wow. That's a common tactic. It make it so expensive, they just give up.
Totally.
Yeah.
And to add insult to injury, Caleb tried to contact campus security.
Okay.
To just get some clarity on the terms of their ban.
Yeah.
Like, were they really not allowed on campus at all?
Right.
But they were just met with unresponsiveness.
Oh, no.
Sent a voicemail repeatedly.
Again, we see this unwillingness to engage
right.
in direct communication.
Okay, now let's move on to the song lyrics.
Okay, the lyrics.
Caleb uses music as this outlet.
Yeah.
To express their raw, unfiltered feelings
yeah.
about this whole experience.
They provide a glimpse into Caleb's emotional state and their perspective on what happened.
And let me tell you, they don't hold back.
It's like a direct line to their thoughts and feelings.
There's this overwhelming sense
yeah.
of feeling silenced and unheard
mm-hmm.
by the institution.
Okay.
Caleb directly addresses the accusations
yeah.
of being mentally unstable.
Oh, wow.
Which were seemingly use to discredit their claims and concerns.
It's a tactic that's often used
right.
to silence dissenting voices, especially
it.
Those who challenge authority
yeah.
or expose wrongdoing by labeling someone as mentally unstable.
Right.
You can just dismiss their concerns.
Without actually addressing them.
Without actually addressing them, exactly.
And the lyrics also highlight
okay.
the hypocrisy of the college.
Right.
Promoting this open education
mm-hmm.
while simultaneously suppressing dissent.
It's like, do as we say, not as we do.
Right.
Right.
And restricting students' access to technology.
Yeah. That contradiction is glaring.
Yeah.
It exposes the gap between the institution's rhetoric
yeah.
and its actions.
And of course, Caleb calls out this whole entrapment situation
mm.
with the phone call after being expelled.
Right.
It all adds to this feeling of being targeted and manipulated.
Yeah.
by the institution.
The lyrics paint a vivid picture.
They do.
Of Caleb's experience
yeah.
and the systemic issues they encountered.
They serve as a powerful form of protest.
Right.
A way for Caleb to reclaim their voice
yeah.
and challenge the narrative that's been constructed around them.
That's important.
And that's just part one of our deep dive. Stick
yeah.
around for part two.
Right.
Where we'll explore even deeper
okay.
into the ethical complexities of AI,
yeah.
the failures of institutional accountability,
mm-hmm.
and the power of music as a form of resistance.
We'll also take a closer look at Caleb's final report
oh, yeah.
on drug decriminalization and harm reduction in Oregon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you might be surprised by the parallels
okay.
between that report and Caleb's own experience with Kimikata.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the experiences of Caleb Giddens at Kimikata Community College.
Yeah.
Before we jumped into Caleb's powerful song lyrics,
right.
we were talking about their expulsion
yeah.
and all those unanswered questions surrounding it.
It's interesting. Those lyrics really give us a raw look at
yeah.
how Caleb felt throughout this whole thing.
Totally.
But there's another piece of the puzzle we need to examine.
Okay.
Caleb's academic work itself.
Hold on. We're going meta now.
Exactly.
Deep diving into a deep dive.
It's fascinating how Caleb's final report,
okay,
which focused on drug decriminalization and harm reduction in Oregon, unintentionally mirrors their own struggles with institutional accountability at Chemaketa.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What kind of connections did you find?
Well, in the report, Caleb analyzes the implementation of Measure 110 in Oregon,
okay,
which decriminalized possession of small amounts of drugs.
Okay.
The intention was to shift away from punishment and towards a public health approach,
okay,
focusing on treatment and recovery.
That sounds like a good step, treating addiction as a health issue.
Absolutely, rather than a criminal one. However, Caleb points out that while drug possession was decriminalized, the law surrounding drug paraphernalia remained unchanged.
Oh, wow.
So it created the situation where people could still be penalized for possessing the tools needed for safer drug use.
So the intention was good.
Right.
But the execution was flawed.
Exactly.
Kind of like how Chemaketa claims to be this inclusive institution.
Right.
But their actions tell a different story.
That's a sharp observation.
Yeah.
And Caleb even draws a parallel to the situation with syringe service providers in Oregon.
Okay.
These programs are legally allowed to provide clean needles,
mm-hmm,
but there are limitations and inconsistencies in how they operate.
Good problem.
Some providers operate on a needs-based model, right, providing unlimited supplies,
okay,
while others adhere to a strict one-for-one exchange policy.
Sounds like a bureaucratic mess.
It is.
That creates more barriers than it removes,
right,
especially for people trying to access those health services.
Exactly.
And just like the college seems more focused on controlling student behavior than actually supporting their needs.
Mm-hmm.
This approach to harm reduction appears more concerned with regulating access than with genuinely promoting public health.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating how these systems designed to help people can end up doing the opposite.
Caleb's report also delves into the issue of racial disparities in drug arrests.
Okay.
They cite a study from Baltimore that showed, even after drug possession was effectively decriminalized there, black residents were still being arrested at a disproportionately higher rate.
So even with seemingly progressive policy changes,
unfortunately,
those biases can still persist.
It's a reminder that simply changing the law isn't enough.
Right.
We need to address the underlying systems and structures that perpetuate those inequalities.
And it makes you wonder if Chemaketa's commitment to equity is just for show. A way to appear progressive without actually addressing
exactly
the root causes of that injustice.
It's a valid question.
It is.
And it's worth noting that Caleb's report strongly advocates for decriminalizing drug paraphernalia as a crucial step in making Measure 110 truly effective.
Okay.
They even point to Alaska as a model.
Oh, interesting.
Highlighting how the state allows access to safer drug consumption tools without requiring a one-for-one exchange.
So Alaska is actually more progressive than Oregon in that sense.
It is, isn't it?
Even though Oregon was the one that decriminalized drug possession.
Right.
It's surprising.
It underscores the need for a more holistic approach to drug policy and harm reduction efforts.
But can't just focus on one aspect of the problem.
And ignore the interconnectedness of these issues.
It seems like Caleb is pushing for that same kind of nuanced thinking.
Yes.
When it comes to AI in education as well.
Absolutely.
They're not against the technology itself.
Right.
But they're critical of how it's being implemented and the potential for harm if we're not careful.
Caleb is asking us to think critically about the unintended consequences of AI adoption.
Especially when it comes to accessibility,
equity,
and academic integrity.
These are complex issues that require thoughtful consideration, not just blind enthusiasm for the latest tech.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk more specifically about the flaws in AI that Caleb uncovered.
Okay.
Remember, they have a background in computer science.
Right.
So they're not just approaching this as a disgruntled student.
Right. Caleb's expertise allows them to look beyond the shiny surface and identify these inherent flaws that could have serious implications for education.
Interesting.
One issue they describe is something they call failure of mutual exclusion.
Failure of mutual exclusion. What is that?
That the AI struggles to differentiate between right and wrong answers.
So it's like the AI can't make up its mind.
Right.
Unable to provide clear and definitive feedback.
Exactly.
That seems pretty problematic.
It is.
In an educational setting where students need that clarity.
How can students be expected to learn effectively If the system designed to assess their understanding is itself confused,
it undermines the whole evaluation process.
It does.
It also creates uncertainty and anxiety for students.
Of course.
Who are trying their best to understand the material and meet the expectations.
And then there's the issue of predictability.
Okay.
Kayla points out that the AI tends to fall into these patterns, which can be manipulated if you know how the system thinks.
So you could potentially game the system, get a good grade without actually understanding the material.
It's a real concern.
Yeah.
It highlights the dangers of relying too heavily on these systems without proper oversight.
Right.
We can't just blindly trust these technologies.
And what about this semantic understanding issue?
Oh.
Caleb mentions, what does that even mean?
Well, Caleb argues that the AI often lacks true semantic understanding.
So it can process words and sentences,
right,
but doesn't really grasp the meaning behind them.
Yes.
Or the nuances of human language.
It's all surface level, no depth.
Kind of like Chimaketa's approach to equity.
I see the connection you're making there.
Yeah.
And this lack of semantic understanding can lead to all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to grading and providing feedback.
The AI might miss subtle errors in reasoning
exactly.
or misinterpret a student's argument,
right,
leading to unfair assessments.
It also raises concerns about the potential for bias.
Yeah.
If the AI is trained on data
right.
that reflects existing societal biases.
It could perpetuate those biases.
That's right. We need to be very careful about the data sets used and ensure that they're representative of diverse perspectives.
Okay, so we've got this AI system
that
struggles to tell right from wrong,
right,
can be easily manipulated,
hmm,
lacks real understanding of language, and could potentially perpetuate harmful stereotypes.
It's a recipe for disaster.
And this is the technology that Chimaketa is using to grade students.
It speaks to the need for much greater scrutiny and ethical consideration when it comes to AI in education.
We can't just blindly embrace these technologies without fully understanding the limitations and potential for harm.
Right. Let's circle back to Caleb's experience at Chimaketa.
Okay.
We've already touched on the certification bait and switch.
Right.
And the issues with the sociology course.
Those incidents paint a pretty clear picture.
They do.
Of the institutional failures Caleb encountered.
But there's another incident that highlights the college's disregard for accessibility.
Okay.
And their tendency to blame the student.
You're talking about the online math class?
Exactly.
Where the instructor told Caleb they had chosen the wrong modality?
Remember, Caleb had specifically chosen an online class to accommodate their anxiety and communication difficulties.
Right. Which stemmed from past trauma.
And when they encountered accessibility issues with the software, they raised their concerns.
Hoping for a reasonable solution.
Yeah.
But instead of addressing those concerns or offering alternative ways for Caleb to participate.
Right. It was their fault for choosing an online format.
That's a classic example of victim blaming.
The institution shirks its responsibility to provide inclusive access.
Exactly.
And instead puts the onus on the student to conform.
It sends a message that students with disabilities aren't welcome or valued.
Yeah.
It creates this hostile environment where they're discouraged from speaking up about their needs.
And this incident seems to have set the stage for a series of increasingly frustrating and discriminatory experiences.
Each time they tried to advocate for themselves, they were met with resistance.
Like the college was actively trying to silence Caleb, shut down any conversation that might challenge their authority. And that pattern of behavior is deeply concerning because it suggests a broader culture of impunity.
They feel like they can get away with treating students this way without any consequences.
Now, I want to circle back to something we briefly mentioned earlier, that Caleb was reportedly denied counseling services at Chimaketa.
This is particularly troubling.
It is.
Because it seems to tie into the accusation of mental instability that was used to discredit Caleb's claims.
It's a tactic often used to silence those who speak truth to power.
Totally.
Especially when those individuals have experienced trauma or mental health challenges.
Like the college is saying, we don't have to listen to you because you're crazy.
It's a way to avoid accountability and dismiss legitimate concerns.
And it's a dangerous and harmful approach.
It is.
That can have devastating consequences for students.
By denying them access to mental health services, the college is exacerbating their challenges.
Okay, before we wrap up part two, I want to highlight one more piece of your source material.
Right.
The emails between Caleb and the college administration.
Ah, yes. Those emails, they provide a meticulous record of Caleb's attempts to address these issues.
From grading disputes to the lack of support
right.
and the potential discrimination.
And it's clear from those emails that Caleb was making every effort
yeah.
to follow the proper procedures, to engage in constructive dialogue
right.
and find a fair resolution to these issues.
But it seems like they were constantly met with obstacles,
right.
deflections,
mm-hmm.
and a general unwillingness to take their concerns seriously.
The emails paint a picture of an institution that's more interested in protecting itself
yeah.
than supporting its students.
And we'll delve deeper into those emails in part three.
Okay.
Where we'll analyze the language, the tone,
right.
and the subtle ways in which the college tried to control the narrative
Interesting.
And silence Caleb's voice.
Okay.
So stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive, where we'll unpack the power dynamics at play.
Sounds good.
In those email exchanges. Welcome back to the deep dive. We're in the final stretch of our exploration into the experiences of Caleb Giddens at Chemicata Community College.
Yeah.
Ready to unpack those eye-opening email exchanges.
Right, those emails.
Between Caleb and the administration.
They weren't just about specific incidents.
Yeah.
They reveal a lot about the systemic issues at play.
The same patterns we've been discussing.
Same patterns, exactly.
Throughout this deep dive.
Yeah, like that whole confident ignorance thing.
It practically jumps off the page in these emails.
It really does.
And one thing that really stands out to me.
Yeah.
Is the language used by the college.
Okay.
There's this constant focus on procedures
mm-hmm.
on following the proper channels
right.
on maintaining this like respectful tone.
But they're trying to box Caleb in setting up all these rules and expectations
yeah.
that make it almost impossible to raise concerns without being perceived as disruptive or difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Any deviation from these predefined parameters
right.
is immediately labeled as disrespectful or unproductive.
It's a subtle form of silencing.
Yeah.
A way to delegitimize Caleb's perspective before they even have a chance to express it.
And it felt like they were constantly deflecting responsibility.
Yeah.
Whenever Caleb tried to get a clear answer
right.
about a grading issue or a specific policy, they were told to go back to the professor, who, as we know, was often unresponsive.
It's the classic bureaucratic runaround.
Totally.
They create this complex system with multiple layers
yeah.
and then use it to shield themselves from accountability.
Right.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Especially when you're already feeling vulnerable and unheard.
And you can't forget Caleb's request for accommodations,
right.
specifically for communication.
Yeah.
They prefer written communication
mm-hmm.
over in-person meetings.
Due to their anxiety and past trauma.
Right. And that's a perfect example of the college's inflexible
yeah.
and, frankly, ableist approach.
They insisted on in-person meetings,
yeah.
claiming that email communication was, like, hard to follow.
Really?
And frustrating for them.
But isn't it ironic?
It's so ironic.
That they dismiss Caleb's emails as hard to follow
yeah.
while simultaneously refusing to provide clear and concise answers.
Right.
In those same emails.
It seems like they're applying a different standard to Caleb
right.
than they are to themselves.
It's a glaring double standard
right.
that highlights their unwillingness to accommodate Caleb's needs
mm-hmm.
and their preference for controlling the narrative through in-person interactions.
It's about power, isn't it?
It is.
The college holds all the cards.
Yeah.
And Caleb is constantly struggling to be heard, to get their needs met, to be treated fairly.
That power imbalance is evident
yeah.
throughout these email exchanges.
And the college's refusal to engage with Caleb's requests for written communication
right.
is particularly egregious.
Yeah.
Because it directly contradicts their own policies on non-discrimination.
They have these policies in place.
They do.
But they're not willing to follow them when it's inconvenient for them.
It's like they're saying these rules apply to everyone.
Right.
Except when they don't.
And it's not just the communication style.
Right.
The tone of some of these emails from the administration
oh, yeah.
is just dripping with condescension.
Totally.
There's this subtle but persistent implication
yeah.
that Caleb is being difficult.
That their concerns are unfounded, mm-hmm. that they're somehow overreacting.
And it's especially frustrating.
It is.
Because it's clear from these emails that Caleb is making every effort
yeah.
to be respectful.
To follow procedures.
To engage in good faith.
Yeah.
They're not yelling. They're not making threats.
Right.
They're not resorting to personal attacks.
They're simply trying to advocate for their rights as a student.
Right.
And they're doing so in a clear, articulate, and well-documented manner.
But it almost feels like the college uses that against them.
Totally.
Because Caleb is so meticulous in their communication,
yeah,
so careful in their documentation.
The college can then point to any perceived tone issue.
Exactly.
As evidence that Caleb is the problem, not the system.
It's classic gaslighting.
Making the victim question their own sanity.
Right.
Making them doubt their own experiences.
And it's especially effective when wielded by an institution
Gobus.
That holds power over the individual.
And what about the way the college
yeah.
repeatedly tried to push Caleb
mm-hmm.
towards external resources?
Oh, yeah.
Like legal counsel or advocacy groups.
That's another form of deflection.
Right.
They're essentially saying, we don't want to deal with this.
So go find someone else to fight your battles for you.
Right. It's a way to avoid taking responsibility for their own actions and policies.
And it places an unfair burden on Caleb.
It does.
Forcing them to navigate a complex and often overwhelming system
right.
while they're already dealing with the trauma of being expelled
mm-hmm.
and feeling betrayed by the institution
yeah.
that was supposed to be supporting their education.
It also highlights those power dynamics we were talking about.
Right.
The college with its resources and legal team
mm-hmm.
is essentially telling Caleb, if you want to challenge us, you'll yeah. have to do it on our terms in a system that we control.
And remember how Caleb tried to raise concerns about potential bias
yeah.
in the great appeal process?
Right. They were essentially told that's just how it works.
It's a shocking admission, isn't it?
It is.
They're basically saying, we know our system is flawed,
right?
But we're not going to do anything to fix it.
It's a clear indication that the college is more concerned with protecting itself
yeah.
than with ensuring fairness and equity for its students.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
We've explored these complex issues surrounding AI and education,
yeah.
the ethical complexities of disability advocacy,
right.
the failures of institutional accountability,
mm-hmm.
and the power of music as a form of resistance.
What's been particularly striking to me
yeah.
is the way Caleb's story exposes the gap between an institution's stated values and its actions.
That's right. Kimiketa prides itself on being a peaceful gathering place
yeah.
that promotes open education and equity.
But the reality, as evidenced by Caleb's experiences and all the source material,
is far different.
Is far different.
They encountered this culture of control,
yeah.
a disregard for student needs,
mm-hmm.
and a deep-seated resistance to transparency and accountability.
And this disconnect is something we need to be paying attention to, not just in education.
But in all institutions
right.
that claim to uphold these values of fairness, inclusivity, and justice.
Words are meaningless without action.
So what does this all mean?
Right.
Why should you, our listener, care about this story?
Because this isn't just about one student in one college.
Right.
Caleb's story is a microcosm mm-hmm. of these larger societal issues we're grappling with.
Yeah.
The rapid advancement of technology,
nice.
The shifting landscape of education,
mm-hmm.
and the ongoing struggle for equity and inclusion.
It's a reminder that we can't take institutions at their word.
We can't.
We need to hold them accountable.
No.
Demand transparency
yeah.
and listen to those who are often marginalized or silenced.
And in an age of AI,
right.
where these technologies are increasingly integrated into our lives,
it's everywhere.
We need to be asking these critical questions.
Mm. What are those questions?
Who benefits from these systems?
Mm.
Who is being harmed?
Right.
And how can we ensure that AI is used ethically and responsibly?
Especially in education.
Especially in education.
We hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought.
Yeah.
Some new perspectives to consider.
Because complacency is not an option.
Complacency is not an option.
We need to be actively engaged in shaping the future we want to see.
A future where education is truly accessible.
Right.
Equitable and empowering for all.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Thanks for listening.